This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome in. One down. Still three to grow. A year-end recap today in the club at 6 o'clock. You're basically the entire year of 2020 recapped in about 9 minutes or so. And it's funny when you go back and look at a year-end recap, because this is our last show of the year, you kind of forget about things. You're like, oh, yeah, that happened. Like, anything that happened, I'm going to say, like, before June, all becomes irrelevant. You're like, what? It's kind of like the early part of the college football season. You're like, what happened in week two? It kind of becomes largely irrelevant because we moved on to bigger and better things, much like the Orange Bowl, which you can hear right here on The Fan on Thursday. And today was media day down at the Orange Bowl, and so we thought we'd go and visit friend of the program. And the owner, proprietor of the great I-5 Quarter. You can find his stuff at i5quarter.com. He does a great job covering everything in the Pacific Northwest. Tyson Alger, we welcome you back to the program. Thanks for taking a couple minutes for us, buddy.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
How was the, I'm assuming the weather down there slightly better than the 7 degrees that it was this morning up here?
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it was a little cold up there. I do admit when it got down to like 64 this evening as the sun was setting. I thought that maybe I shouldn't have changed into these shorts, but no, we're doing good down here. We're surviving.
Did you have to put on a light sweater? Is that what like maybe?
Maybe a cardigan, but nothing too heavy.
I'm sure it's tough when you find out that you're traveling to Miami. We were talking about like bowl destinations and how largely like some people view bowl games now as irrelevant. But if you end up at a cool place or someone does like what the Pop-Tart Bowl does, you have to create like an environment where people want to go. And I would assume that one, being the college football playoff, and two, Miami is a great destination. But I'm hearing this game is not sold out and probably won't be sold out.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating one because like I've seen like a fair amount of like Oregon Twitter or X like that have made the trip down here and this is a fun one to go to. It's a large profile game. It's two good teams. It's Miami when it's freezing cold back in Portland and or Eugene. But like even at media day today though, like it felt like a little not off, but it just felt like a little subdued. Like there wasn't much in the way of like national media people there. Maybe it's just the fact that there's just so many games to go to now and you kind of have to gear up for like the whole run, in terms of all the games. But like, yeah, like it's like, I believe it when I like see the reports that it's not sold out just because like it doesn't quite have like the kind of like the pizzazz to it that like the Rose Bowl does, which we're pretty used to going to at this point.
And by the way, I guess the Rose Bowl isn't sold out either. I mean, it's kind of becoming a thing across the board. They're saying that, like, just the demand for the games right now on site is pretty soft across all four of these games. And maybe that's lending some credence to the whole, I mean, Dan Lanning even said this game should be played in Lubbock. Do you think, are you hearing that there's more momentum maybe for these games being, the second round games being at home fields, or is the bowl machine just too powerful?
I mean, I think the bowl machine's still pretty powerful. I mean, like, it's even crazy just being around, like at this thing. Like, there's so many people in orange suit coats that are just part of kind of like the Orange Bowl contingent around. And, like, it's still a large kind of entity. It's still kind of like part of the money machine of it. I think ultimately it will just come down to, like, whether or not they think the television ratings are somehow impacted by kind of the in-stadium kind of vibe for these. But on the flip side, like, Hard Rock Stadium is pretty cool. Like, I haven't been to many college football venues that are, like, lined by an F1 track they have, like, these gondolas that kind of go through the parking lot that I imagine for the Formula One stuff. But, yeah, like, it's a really cool venue. It's just, I think kind of some of the pageantry of bowl season doesn't maybe like hit as much in Miami as it does or used to.
Well, today was media day. Did you get a feel, like, do we know, like, what are we expecting crowd wise? Is it a 50-50 split? I mean, obviously Texas a lot closer to Miami than us out here, but do we have, is it too hard to get a gauge for, I guess, maybe fan support in house?
Yeah, I didn't have like a good kind of opportunity to gauge fan support today. This was kind of a more media only sort of thing, but you know, I've seen a fair amount of Oregon people that have made the trip out here, but ultimately there are a lot of people from Texas, and Texas is a lot closer, so do the math.
I think what we saw today of what practice, so Evan Stewart out, everyone else in, like, not, I mean, it kind of sounds like this is as healthy as Oregon has been all year, with the exception of Evan Stewart, who's not going to play.
Yeah. Stewart's listed as out. He didn't practice though. Like at media day today, Lanning had kind of a obscure quote about how he just changes his status on there to mess with us. So I don't know, but I wouldn't count on him definitely this week. We'll see depending on next week, but yeah, DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant Jr., Jordan Davidson, they all looked like they were out there today. Granted, the amount of practice we see is legitimately 15 minutes of stretching. So, and anybody trying to make like large inferences out of bowl practices is probably stretching it a bit, but it was good to see those guys out there healthy and looking good on the injury report as well.
If you get a sense, or can you tell, or if they said anything about, I mean, obviously this is kind of Texas Tech's first venture into this, and Oregon having done it last year, although, you know, having the bye, has Lanning talked about, or do you get a sense that the approach has changed at all last year versus, you know, a team and a lot of players and coaches that have been there and done that?
Yeah, like I just get the sense that they're really comfortable with all this. I mean, there was a lot of pressure that came with last season. You were undefeated. You won the Big Ten. You have this massive rematch against Ohio State. Like, that was a pressure cooker of a season last year. And like, I think up until that final game, like, they handled it pretty admirably. But you know, this year, like, they've kind of had like the back and forth of they didn't have to play in the conference championship game, but they did have to play earlier against JMU. And I think, you know, Lanning holds the cards close to the vest, but like he said, basically, like, they learned a lot from the way they went about practicing, preparing, keeping guys healthy during that time last year. And they say they've put it to better use this year. I mean, ultimately we're going to find out on Thursday, but yeah, like I just, like, they're not in awe or shock of this venue or this moment at all.
We're talking to Tyson Alger, i5 quarter. You can find his stuff i5quarter.com. Anything you took out of media today, anything that anything fun, anything serious that kind of, I don't know, poked your interest?
For like the last 5 minutes, Tosh Lupoi was just sitting at his podium by himself, and he looked like he didn't want to be like done yet. Like, he kept kind of talking into his microphone and like color commentating like other people's interviews as they were going on. And while he was doing that, I went up to him and I asked him, like, hey, you've been so busy lately and you've been talking about doing the Oregon job during the day and the Cal job at night, like, what do you think about sleep science? Like, do you actually think it's important to get a good night's sleep? And he said, no, it's a placebo. He doesn't believe in that science. So, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from media day today is Tosh Lupoi does not believe in sleep.
So what we determined is that, because Dan Lanning once told us that being sick is a choice, being cold and wet is a choice, and now Tosh Lupoi saying that apparently being tired, also a choice. I'm getting a kind of a common theme about the psychotic nature of successful college coaches.
Yeah, they're nuts, man. Like, I got like 4 hours of sleep last night, and I'm not doing well. So,
is there anything at all? I mean, it is kind of weird. I know, like in the Ole Miss game, Ole Miss Georgia, there's six LSU coaches that are coaching Ole Miss, and like Lane Kiffin's going to the game. And last week, you know, JMU's entire staff. Was not JMU staff. It was UCLA staff. And it's one thing I haven't really heard mentioned, but it is interesting because both coordinators are head coaches, and there's like, what, seven other staff members and coaches that are leaving as well that are technically other teams' employees but are coaching in this game against Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? And like, I think maybe the only like kind of large separator in that is the fact that Dan's still the head coach, and he obviously has enough trust in these guys that if he thought that like it was going to be an issue having them around, like I don't think for a second Lanning would hesitate to show them the door. But I think maybe, I mean, it's weird. Like they, the coaches hate the timing of the season. Like Dan's been a big kind of at the forefront of like saying that the season needs to be done on January 1st. And there's too much other stuff that gets intertwined when you're stringing this thing out until mid January. But I think it helps that Oregon is at least at a higher position in terms of stature compared to Kentucky or Cal. And so like, you're not necessarily worried about losing like really good players, but yeah, it's kind of crazy to see like the amount of just like what kind of staff that are heading out to those two different schools.
It's just something to keep an eye on, because you know, if Oregon wins, then it's nothing. But if they stub their toe and they lose to Texas Tech, which is a real possibility, that's a good team over there. It's funny how that will become a narrative real, real fast.
Yeah. You know, maybe they needed to get some sleep.
Do you have a general feeling? What's just kind of your take as you get closer to game here? We're 48 hours away. Your general take on this matchup, which I think is the best matchup of the four games.
I think it's really good. Like, it's just there's a lot of talent and depth on both sides of this matchup. Like, it's going to be fun to see what Texas Tech's front seven can do. I think the only thing that makes me really like Oregon's chances in this one is obviously Tech's quarterback is going to be a little bit limited in terms of his mobility, and I just feel like that kind of losing a little bit of that dynamic ability is just going to play in Oregon's favor. I like the way that Oregon has been able to win like in like eight different ways this season, whether it's like blowout or close game or need to play, you know, slow football, fast football, like they've been in just about every type of game this year. So I just think that with Oregon's talent and their health returning, I like them a little bit better than Tech in this game.
It is weird because we don't – in the NFL, it's all about quarterback play, right? It's like, well, we trust quarterback play. And you look through college football, and we don't give that the same sort of credence. You know, when we take about two teams, or talk about two teams that are good and both play good defense and good old lines and there's weapons and all this stuff, we don't really talk about the fact that one of these two quarterbacks is probably going to be playing the last game of his professional career, and one will be a top five quarterback in next year's draft if he comes out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I think, you know, that's what used to kind of be so fun about some of those old Oregon teams that, you know, you look at like the 2010 team or the 2014 team. Obviously, 14, you had Marcus, who was a Heisman winner, but it's not like Marcus has gone on to like light up the NFL. Like, I like that. And at least in the old college football, you could kind of have, you know, these guys who weren't necessarily pro prospects to be that effective at that level. But
okay, we put your feet to the fire. Give me a prediction.
I'm going to say Oregon 38, Texas Tech 28.
Ooh, I like you. So you're going high scoring affair. I don't think Texas Tech has given up more than 26 all year. I like that's a bold prediction going 38.
Hey, it's 2026.
anything can happen.
Well, anything can happen, baby.
We appreciate Miami. We appreciate you taking some time. Enjoy Miami. I'm assuming you get one more night to kind of kick back and relax. New Year's Eve in Miami is pretty good, and then we gear up for the one that we all want to see, which is Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't hate the location here, and I don't think it will be a bad New Year's Eve. So appreciate you guys having me on.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of content coming out on the I-5 corridor about this one.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, check it out. And Tyson, we'll check in with you hopefully further down the road when they take care of Texas Tech and move on to, I'm assuming, Indiana, but possibly Alabama. But we appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us, and we wish you a happy new year and all the sunshine and happiness you can handle.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks, man.
All right. When we come back. Interesting there. I actually want to talk about the game when we come back, because I do think there's a couple things that we can point to about one side or the other, because I do think this is the best matchup, but I do think there are a couple massive advantages that Oregon has in this game. And I want to touch upon the one that we kind of mentioned there, and that's simply a quarterback play. And why don't we talk about the college quarterback the way we do the NFL? That when primetime rolls on, 105.1 The Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tyson Aldridge just joined us. I-5 Corridor is talking a little Ducks and Texas Tech. He did mention that it doesn't have the same sort of feel. I don't know if you paid attention to this, but none of these games are sold out right now. At least it was like, what, 24, maybe 48 hours ago? I saw someone, it might have been, I think Darren Revell was talking about it, that there are still face value tickets to every one of these games. Like, there really isn't a secondary market for them unless you're trying to get, like, a specific seed. right? Then you may, you know, StubHub or whatever, but there's actually cheaper seats to be had right now on the secondary market for a lot of these games than what you would find just going face value. And by the way, I think there's a lot of fan bases now, and we even heard this when Oregon was getting ready to play James Madison. There were a lot of fans that were like, dude, we weren't going to buy from the school because the ticket prices on the face value on these things are so jacked up, because it's the idea of like, oh, it's the college football playoff. These are so expensive and it's a premium price. And a lot of fans are like, no. I knew season ticket holders that were like, dude, we're just going to wait and go on the secondary market. For that Oregon JMU game, you could have had a 30-yard seat, 15 rows up for $80. And that was like a couple hours before a kick. And so I wonder if maybe that's the same sort of thing that's happening here, but it's a soft market. The Rose Bowl, you have the Rose Bowl game. And by the way, it's the Rose Bowl featuring a Big Ten team and Alabama, arguably the second biggest brand in college football behind Ohio State. And now granted, I think it's supposed to rain a little bit at the Rose Bowl. So it never rains at Autzen. Apparently it never rains at the Rose Bowl, not so fast. But I do think it's kind of funky that here we are, less than 48 hours away from these games, and as far as I know, none of these games are sold out, which might lend some credence to the fact that a lot of people think these second-round games, including Dan Lanning, Lanning even said this game should be played in Lubbock. And this was the same thing that he was saying last year, and this is where I'll give Lanning credit. He said this last year, and he'll say it this year. Last year, it would have benefited Oregon because Ohio State would have had to come back to Eugene. And in this year, Oregon would have had to go on the road to play in Lubbock. Texas Tech, for being the number four team in the country, their reward was not getting a home playoff game, which kind of stinks. And I promise you, if this game was in Lubbock, if this game was in Bloomington, these games would be sold out. Not only would they be sold out, but it would be a massive ticket. I mean, get-in price at Autzen Stadium would be, or I guess at, you know, Lubbock, wherever, I don't know the name of that stadium. I think it's actually Cody Campbell Field, the Tech billionaire. I think his name is the field, but I'm not sure what the stadium is.
Jones AT&T Stadium.
Jones AT&T. Oh, so that's, there you go. Well, Jerry. I mean, that would, that we wouldn't have to worry about that. But that's a conversation for another time. We were talking to Tyson there, and he said the bowl game thing is so powerful. I'm not certain that that will ever go away. But these games should be played. These second round games should be played at home stadiums. They should. And then all of a sudden you're asking fans to not travel three or four times. You're asking them to travel twice. You know, largely that would be a Texas Tech fan base. And then whoever wins that game, you're asking the fans to go to a semifinal game and then the finals. That's a much easier ask than asking a fan base to travel three times or to pay for a home playoff game and then three times. Or in the case of a team that had to go on the road in the first round, you may be asking that fan base to travel four times. There's just not many people that can afford to do that.
Well, what's the benefit of a Texas Tech with their seeding at four? They didn't get the home bye game.
No.
They just got a week off.
That's it. Week off, and then you can make the argument whether the week off is good or bad. Again, Lanny would tell you this year that they were glad to have the week to knock the rust off. But there's a difference between playing JMU in that game than Alabama or Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Something tells me if Notre Dame came into Autzen Stadium 10 days ago, it wouldn't have been so exciting to say we want to knock the rust off. But for all the ways that this game can be broken down, and I think this is a good matchup. Said along, I think this is the best matchup we have in the first round of college football. And I think it's the definition of kind of a coin flip game. I can see a road in which Texas Tech wins. Absolutely. Texas Tech's front seven can strangle teams. They've given up 20 points one time this year. One. And that was to Arizona State. And by the way, Texas Tech had a backup quarterback in that game. Will Hammond played in that, not Morton. And I actually went back and watched that game. And in every one of Arizona State's drive, everyone, they had an explosive play. In fact, their least explosive play in one of those scoring drives was a 20-yard pass. And then one of them was the definition of short field. There was an interception, and they only had to go like 15 yards to score a touchdown. But of those explosive plays, most of those were deep passes, 30-plus yard passes. And Sam Levitt ended up having a nice game. Sam Levitt threw for 319 yards. He had the one touchdown, but he had four big explosive plays. And in every one of those plays, he was getting hit. It's funny, when you go back and watch that game, and I mean like literally as he's getting rid of the ball, taking one in the chops, but he stood in the pocket or on the run, and he delivered big balls downfield. Because you look at Texas Tech's secondary, it's probably the weakness of the defense. But the front seven has been so good, and they were literally half a click away from erasing every one of those big plays, and they probably strangle ASU the way they do everyone else. And instead of losing 22-26, they probably win 22-14.
And like you said, the quarterback play in college football should be more, again, on a pedestal the way we talk about NFL football. It just goes to show you that the difference in that game
was Sam Levitt.
Was the quarterback.
Yes, and that's ultimately why. And I'm not a Duck homer by any stretch of the imagination. I've said a million times, this to me doesn't seem like a national title team for Oregon. Just doesn't. I think this is a very good Oregon team. I think they could win a national title because I don't think the rest of the teams in the playoff are elite either. I just don't. And I think the two best teams are on the opposite side of the bracket from Oregon. I think that's Georgia and Ohio State. I think they benefited a ton from having Georgia and Ohio State only having to play one of those teams, and that's if they make it the whole way. But when I look at this Texas Tech and I look at this Oregon team, I keep going back to that game against Arizona State. Texas Tech was only pushed once all year. And that one game that they were pushed and they lost, granted, they had a backup quarterback, but this goes to my larger point. They lost that game because their backup quarterback wasn't as good as Sam Levitt. And when you start talking about who's the next best quarterback that Texas Tech played all year, is it Bear Brockmeyer at BYU?
And they made him look
pathetic.
Awful.
Horrid. I mean, maybe Dampier at Utah, but he had a beat up ankle. I mean, honestly, they didn't play another elite quarterback. I mean, Avery Johnson, if you want to go down that road at Kansas State, is that what we're doing? The level of quarterback play that they are about to face in Dante Moore is so far and above anything that they've seen, including Sam Levitt.
Yeah, 100%.
And ultimately, when I think about this game, I can't ignore that. Is there a scenario where Texas Tech just strangles out Oregon? Absolutely. Because we've seen Oregon's offense get ground down. 17 points in regulation against Penn State. Iowa held them to 18. Indiana held them to, what, 20? And Indiana's a really good defense. And I think Indiana's secondary is better than Texas Tech's, but this is the best front seven that they will face. It's the best linebackers, and it's the best fronts. Two best rush ends, three best linebackers. This is a big boy front. This is not a Big 12 front that they are facing. This is an SEC Big 10 front that's masquerading as a Big 12 front. But at the end of the day, Dante Moore is greater than anything that Texas Tech will have seen outside of Sam Levitt. And when they played Sam Levitt threw for 300 yards, and they had big explosive plays. And Oregon's going to need to have big explosive plays. And in the world of the NFL, like you mentioned, quarterback play is everything. If I have a game and it's the Seattle Seahawks, and let's say it's the Seahawks and they're playing, they're playing the Rams. And we've seen that game, and that game was as close as can be. But if you're watching the Rams and you're watching the Seahawks play, right, and there's a lot to like about Seattle, there's a lot to like about the Rams. Why do most people like the Rams in that scenario?
Matthew Stafford over Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Why do we continue to say, even though Buffalo has no run defense to speak of, and they really don't have a good offensive identity other than let's get in run heavy situations and let Josh Allen put on the Superman cape, why do we think that Buffalo is a Super Bowl contender?
I'll do you one more. Why do we believe a team that has been statistically their worst since they were last in an AFC championship? Why do we think the Baltimore Ravens are going to beat the Steelers?
Because the idea that Lamar Jackson can come back, even though he hasn't looked that way all year. But we do that at quarterback. And for some reason in college, we don't. And maybe it's because we see Will Howard win a national title. Maybe it's because we've seen Alabama win, Jacob Coker wins a national title. The fact that Carson Beck may win a national title, oh my God. And maybe that's what it is. But to me, when I take two teams and I go and I say, I like these teams and I can get an advantage for Texas Tech over here. I can say an advantage for Oregon and we can talk about this and that. At the end of the day, I keep going back to it. If Dante Moore comes out, and we don't know if he will or not, I believe Dante Moore will be the number one pick in the draft. I think if he declares by the time they go through the process, his upside over Fernando Mendoza, I think Dante Moore goes one. But in every mock draft from people that I trust and that I actually think do a good job of this, I have not seen a mock draft where he goes less than three. He's not a top five pick. He's a top three pick. And Baron Morton for Texas Tech is getting ready to play his last college football game. He will not play in the NFL. So if we have two teams that we think are pretty equal, front seven advantage for Texas Tech, receivers, O-line, running backs, better for Oregon, tight end, better from Oregon, secondary, lean to Oregon. And I'm not saying it's a massive gap at these things.
But it's a but those are gap all, to bring up to the conversation.
Those are all advantages. The one advantage Texas Tech has is their front seven is really good. And Oregon's is good, but it's not Texas Tech's.
Oregon also has the better special teams unit.
And yet at the end of the day, the one thing that we're not talking about, and I don't know why, Baron Morton, Dante Moore. The pick in this game is Dante Moore. Doesn't mean Oregon will win. I just don't know how I can pick Baron Morton over Dante Moore on a neutral field. Oregon's the play in this. But because of that front seven, I just think that's where people look at this, because if there's one thing that wrecks a game plan, there's one thing that's the great equalizer in football, front seven. When you have a front seven that can wreck a team, the most dominant team we've ever seen in NFL history was the New England Patriots.
Dictating that line of scrimmage.
And they went 18-0. And then they ran into Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan and Yusei Omiyora. And that was it. That's all they needed. And then a couple decent plays out of Eli Manning. And the undefeated Patriots went down. So if Texas Tech wins, it's because their front seven grinds this thing to a halt and they win this game 17-14. Or they win the game 21-19. But if it's a back-and-forth game, Oregon will win. Oregon will. When we come back in the news, here though, Casey with an update. Welcome back in the news coming up in just a moment. Getting some NFL stuff in 5. Year in review, as it is our last show of the year, our last primetime show. Don't forget tomorrow, 1-4, special Orange Bowl preview show with Anthony Newman, Andy Durr Johnson, and myself. That'll be 1-4, but this will be our last show of the year. So we will recap a good 2025, depending on your perspective. We'll take a look at that and some other fun stories we have in the club. But it is December 30th in the year of our Lord, 2025. And that means it is time for our last in the news of the year. If you're driving out to the coast for New Year's, be aware that the infamous, notorious Highway 26 bump. This is like if you're on your way down to Oregon coast, like you're outside of Seaside. I think it's on milepost 13. I don't know if you've ever hit this, but it's... Have you ever encountered the Seaside bump?
Not yet. As a driver, yeah. Not yet.
Dude, it's nuts. So it's like they call it like an inverted landslide. So there's like a section of road that keeps popping up, and it creates a speed bump that you don't really notice until it's too late. And it causes wrecks. Cars go airborne. So they keep trying to fix this thing. But I guess just because of the way the terrain sits, the water gets underneath it and it keeps raising it back up. I guess last year they spent millions of dollars to put in a drainage pipe, and because of all the rain that came in, it's back. So it's back, and I guess it's worse than ever. So they've officially lowered the speed limit on that stretch of road to 5 miles an hour. And that's quite crazy to think about, because if you've ever driven down Highway 26, like you're going down to the coast, yeah, people aren't going 5 miles an hour. That tends to be one of those, no one's around, let's floor it.
Get out my way.
Yeah, but they have officially reduced the speed limit to just 5 miles an hour in an effort to keep drivers safe and preventing vehicles from becoming airborne as they cross the damaged stretch of road. So they're saying that most people are heeding the sign and being aware of it, but if you happen to be making your way down there and you're at milepost 13 outside of Seaside and you see the warning sign that says bump and 5 miles an hour, you might want to take that fairly seriously.
I just can imagine the type of cars that are going airborne. I think I can see the exact type of car in my head of what is going airborne in that vicinity.
Have you ever had that where you accidentally, you go over, like you don't realize that there's a bump? Like, we, growing up, the whole Dukes of Hazzard like airborne car thing, that is the biggest lie that I've ever been told. Because it's the idea that your car just goes airborne and then lands and you do like a cool bump and everything's fine. It does not. It is like one of the most...
It almost never happens.
It is one of the most jarring experiences. As your axle snaps, your tire goes off in 4 different directions. It ain't good. I don't want to rat anyone out, but it's possible one of us was taking a test drive and I was in a little... Well, someone was in a little sporty car. And I didn't realize I was going around some curves. And I thought it was kind of a fun place to, yeah, you know.
You casually slipped from someone to I really quick.
I just heard this story. And it was a little sports car. And might have started with an M. So, like, this person was cruising around these curves. And I had never been out that direction. And they let me go on my own test drive, which that's their fault. And so I was cutting these curves. And all of a sudden, I didn't realize that they have, like, the serious bumps. And like all of a sudden I saw the sign and I was like, what? Huh? Why are there speed? Oh, dude, I hit that thing. I was so scared. It was not good. I thought I just destroyed the bottom of this. And I immediately turned around and went back to the dealership. And then I had to be like, oh, you know what? Only this car's for me. I don't really like the color. Something's off with it.
Something doesn't feel right.
I just, it's a nice car, but I'm thinking about maybe going in a different direction. It's not good if you hit one of those bumps. So if you are planning on spending the New Year's down at the coast, be careful about that. Right out there, milepost 13 on your way down to Seaside. Also, too, if you are someone that's getting ready to go out, if you're one of the National Park Bros out there, be aware that your state and federal public lands parking pass is about to get a lot more expensive. Shocking development. Everything's going up. The Oregon State Park Pass is going to double in price January 1st. So if you are thinking about buying one for 2026, buy one now, because you can buy it now for $30 to $60 for a one-year pass. But that is eventually going to go up. It goes from $30. If you buy it right now from $30, it's going to be $60 January 1st. And for non-residents, it is going to be $75, which I understand the idea of raising prices. How do you raise something by 100%? How does that double? Your daily parking fees are going to go from $5 to $10. What else are they going? Some of the fees are going from $25 to $47. Literally almost every fee to park or visit one of our state or national parks is doubling.
Make that make sense.
I don't know. But they said in November, Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission approved a new rule that would allow fees to be increased more easily in the future.
What, are we spending more money on parks each year?
So now they have the ability, if they want, they can raise it up to $25 for daily parking, and they can go up to $100 for an annual pass. Although the park director, Lisa Sumpton, said that she does not plan to raise the prices that high, even though she just doubled the price. So we went from $30 to $60. We went from, $5 to $12 per day if you want a daily parking pass. And those can easily now go to $25 and $100, even though they don't plan on it. Something tells me by the end of next year, we are going to be at $25 for a day pass and $100 for an annual one. Just saying. So if you are one of those people that wants to buy a year-end pass, you still have one day to do it, and you can buy it at the old price before they get hiked up.
Again, I'm looking up the increase. What about the operational costs? Are we really increasing year in and year out?
I don't know. I just have come to accept the fact that at any given point when the government needs more money, which is always, their answer to everything is just raise the price on everything. And again, just frog in the boiling pot. If it's $5, raise it to $7 and no one will care. But if you go $5 to $12, someone's going to be like, what the hell? And if you go from $30 to raise it to $40, and people will be like, whatever. But you go from $30 to $60, it's like the doubling of the price is where you get into problems. I buy like this beard, kind of like a beard oil paste thing, because I have to kind of, otherwise my beard kind of goes every which direction. And I bought one like a month or two ago. I tried out a new one. It's called like Wild Willy something or other. I bought it on Amazon and it was $5 and it had good reviews. And I was like, oh, $5. I'm like, that's a pretty good deal. Cause most of the stuff's like $10 to $12. And I always find that to be a little bit of a ripoff. I'm like $10 to $12 for a little, like
12-ounce bottle.
Yeah. Looks like a little tobacco tin. That kind of seems like a bunch of crap. So this one was $5 and I got it. It was really good. So I was excited. I was like, oh man, $5. So I recently was running low. So I went back to Amazon, like literally like a month or two later. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go usurp the high prices. I'm going with Wild Willy's Beard Balm.
Oh, they got you.
Went back, clicked on it because it does the little order again. Went, added it to the cart. What did they do? $11.99. Those sons of bitches. From $5 to $11.99. In like a month.
Month is crazy.
What are we doing? They suckered me in. I had the nerve to write an email and be like, excuse me, why is this now $12? Yeah, they just pulled the national parks on me. Imagine if you thought about buying that pass, like you logged on today, and you're like $30, and you're like, I don't know. And then you decided not to, and then 2 days from now, you're like, all right, I'm gonna buy one for the year, and then you see it's gonna be $60, you're gonna be pissed.
Again, I go camping a lot. So you telling me that they're changing it means that I I'm going to go home today and go get myself a park pass.
Or just don't go to parks. It's a lot of money to seem to go to a park. Just saying. I don't like it, Lisa. And I don't believe you when you say you're not going to raise them that high. So you passed a law to make it easier for you to raise prices, but then you tell us you're not going to raise prices, even though right now you're doubling your prices? Skeptical. Skeptical. What would you do if you buried someone and then you find out that the grave wasn't yours? That story. And you want to talk about like a case of mistaken identity? That's the least of the problems that were in the news today. Two cases of mistaken identity when we come back in the news here on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the middle of in the news, got time to squeeze in a couple more before we move on to some NFL stuff. Bad day for the Diggs brothers. Not sure one more than the other. Some families, though, can't get out of their own way. Two cases of mistaken, I guess, identity, if you will. Kind of oopsies, and you tell me which one's worse. So, a Portland judge has denied a stay in the case, allowing the removal of a young man's grave at Skyline Memorial Gardens. So, get this. So, this Tyler Harrison is the son of a Portland resident. And so, the young man, unfortunately, lost his life. So, the mother cremates him, buys this plot of land, by the way, buys a little cemetery plot for him, and does a nice little memorial for him. Right? He died in an accident in Florida in 2016. So decides to cremate him, bring the ashes to Portland. They choose the plot at Skyline Memorial Gardens. She incorporated elements of Buddhist and Catholic traditions in her mourning. Site contained other personal items, including some of Harrison's ashes, hair, baby teeth. You know, it does a whole thing. Puts her son to rest. I can't imagine burying your kid, right? Worst thing that could possibly happen. Problem. The cemetery that sold her the plot of land to bury her son had already sold that plot to someone else. So unbeknownst
to They're double booking plots.
They're double booking plots. Right? So court documents showed that they had previously like sold the plot to someone else. And no one thought anything about it because they just had that plot, but no one had been buried there. Well, recently, someone did die and they want their plot of land. And so they're like, they show up and they're like, hey, we've come to bury our person here. And they're like, oh, someone's already buried here. And so the cemetery is like, well, oops, someone's already buried here, but technically it was their plot of land. So they offer the mom a different plot of land or a refund. And she's like, well, no, my son's already buried. And the people who rightfully own the plot, you would think that the right thing to do would just be like, well, leave
him in there. We don't want to have, you know, a dead body exhumed or anything.
Right? Wouldn't you think that that's the easiest way to do this? Is that if you were the people that originally bought the cemetery plot, wouldn't you just say, hey, find me the closest plot to this and I'll bury my loved one and we'll let your son lie in peace?
We're both grieving. Let's just all have a moment.
Yeah. No. So the people are like, no, we want yours out of there. We want to put ours in. And the court ruled in favor of the people whose plot it originally was. So now they're going to go under a court order and dig up the kid and the grave. And she has a choice, either get her money back or get a different plot. And they're going to bury the other person in there. And of course, the mom's causing a fit. And she's like saying that this is unjust and some things can't be undone. That's a bad beat. That's a bad beat for everyone. And I understand that honest mistakes get made. They say the original sale ever occurred. There was a staff turnover in 2019. But if you're that other family, how do you live with your... How do you tell a mother who buried her son that you're now going to dig up her son because you want someone else to be buried there?
Yeah, it turns out that lady actually did want that spot. We're going to double down and your kid can have a new spot.
And can't you like... Can't you maybe both? Can't you just dig a little deeper and do like a sharesies? Because like with cremation, you know, you just need the one.
In like sardines.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do it. Like my mom is scheduled to, like my dad is buried at at the military cemetery. And when my mom dies, we're just going to put my mom on top of it.
Yeah, but that's sweet.
So why can't you just, can't you do sharesies?
With a random person and your dead kid?
It's better than digging up the kid. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if... Because I unfortunately have had to bury a loved one. It's not fun. But if I had gone to bury the loved one and I showed up at the plot that I bought and, like, you were there, like, young lowercase is there, and your mom's crying, I wouldn't be like, dig his ass up. This is my... You want to talk about the ultimate this is mine? How selfish can you be? You're making the mom dig up her kid.
They must have offered the second family, the person whose plot it originally was, they must have offered them a bad section of the cemetery, because there's no reason why you wouldn't just go, we can go over here.
It gets worse. So there's that one. That one's bad. But this one's worse. I told you. We got some oopsies that are going on. So you tell me, I'll read both stories, you tell me which one's worse. So this is 44 years ago. A married couple goes to Oregon Health and Science University, a fine institution, and they're having fertility troubles. And so they do the in vitro. So they take an egg from the mom, they take some sperm from the dad, and they create themselves a wonderful baby daughter, and everything's great. 40 years go by. 40 years. You know where this is going. They do one of those 23andMe tests. Turns out, not dad's sperm. They mixed it up. Honest mistake, they're saying, use the wrong sperm. Oops. Honest mistake, they used the wrong sperm. So it's the mom's daughter, biologically. It was her egg. Different sperm.
But they labeled the cup wrong.
Someone made a clerical error. Oopsie. The family now seeks $17 million in damages. First off, they should get the $17 million.
Yes, they should.
Which one's worse? Finding out after 40 years,
40 years.
Your daughter 40 is years. Not your daughter, but you get $17 million, or you have to dig up your son because the people whose grave it is says, screw you, dig up your kid. And you don't get $17 million.
I still feel like the mom might have grounds to sue the cemetery for some reason over that clerical error. I'm not a lawyer here.
Judge said no. Judge was like, no, dig him up. You get to find out your daughter. See, Steven's in there. Steven's got kids. I'm telling you, you have to find out. You think it's your daughter. You raise her as your daughter, and you get $17 million.
Steven's Johnny Manzelling over here.
He's taking that deal. That's what I was wondering. They say they're devastated, which obviously they are, but they still love their daughter the same. It doesn't change the way you love your daughter.
You still love that person. You raised them for 40 years.
And you get $17 million.
That seems like the best kid.
$17 million.
That might be the best kid.
My oldest daughter, not biologically mine, Taylor, who I love dearly. That's my first baby. She's always my baby girl. You know what I didn't get for having her? $17 million. I didn't get $17 million. I'm sure you were devastated for a little bit when that test came out. But you know what makes that pain a little less? $17 million.
Which one's worse? 100% the one where the child had to get dug up from the grave.
Yeah, I feel bad for that. I feel bad for that mom. I'm just saying, if you're the family out there making that mom dig up her kid, you're a terrible person.
Awful human being.
You're an awful human being. His teeth are buried in there. What are you doing?
There's parts of him that have decomposed probably in there.
That's in the news.
It's his.
That's in the news. When we come back, some NFL stuff. We get into the Diggs brothers situation. When we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.